on this edition of the Iowa Business Report.
And more economic freedom under a Trump administration, less economic freedom under a Biden administration.
If there is a change in the White House in January, expect very different economic policies. Business owners are in line, hoping for another round of COVID-19 stimulus funds. And you'll hear about a business that provides a unique use for a third-generation Iowa farm. This is the Iowa Business Report for the second weekend of November 2020.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry has been the voice of Iowa business since 1903. Learn more online at iowaabi.org. Here is Jeff Stein.
The Electoral College meets on December 14th. Their ballots are due by December 23rd, and they are counted in front of a joint session of Congress on January 6th. That's when the U.S. presidential election results become official. While results are still not certified and recounts are underway in some states, one thing is certain. If Joe Biden becomes president, there will be changes in how the White House handles various economic issues. To discuss the differences between the Trump and Biden approaches, I connected via Zoom this past week with Creighton University economist Dr. Ernie Goss, the leading expert on the Midwest economy. Let us presume that Joe Biden becomes president. What are some things that a Biden administration would do that would impact the American and global economy?
Well, there already have been some changes, and that's even without the Georgia Senate race being settled. And that changes, the changes that we're currently seeing is probably a more aggressive approach to the COVID-19 pandemic, meaning that the Biden administration is more likely to be on the side of, in my judgment, on the side of the medical experts rather than the economic experts. And of course, that probably means we will see greater movement toward lockdowns and more economic restrictions going forward than we would have seen under a Trump administration.
Is it possible that if the Trump administration has a second term, they might wind up? And again, it's speculative because we don't know the progression of the disease. But would we see similar moves being made even by Donald Trump in a second term with regard to closing the economy?
I don't think so. I think the Trump administration is going to err on the side of keeping the economy open. The Biden administration will err on the side of closing the economy. As he said in one of his interviews, I will rely on the medical experts. And the medical experts, they tend to be much more on the side of restricting the economy, locking down the economy, and look no further than the Northeast, where many of the states are still in what I would call an economic lockdown. Of course, that does slow economic growth, but it has had some impacts on the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, the infection rates, and even the death rates. But I say look no further than Sweden to see that these lockdowns, Sweden versus France, look no further than those two countries to see that these lockdowns in most cases have only a temporary impact. And when you open the economy back up, those infection rates, those COVID-19 death rates spike upward.
The Trump administration used tariffs repeatedly in different contexts for leverage. The Biden administration, from what we can tell, should there be one, is not going to simply remove all of those, certainly with regard to China, using some of those as leverage. As an economist, and you and I have talked before about the fact that you prefer free markets, and so I wonder if, again, from a philosophical standpoint, in more normal times, will we see, if it is the Biden administration, a different approach with regard to sanctions like that in order to leverage broader deals? Because again, I think it's fair to say the Trump approach has been very different than those of his predecessors. And I wonder what that now sets the table for either a second Trump administration or a successor in Biden.
Well, certainly, I think we'll see a much more of an open economy in terms of trade with the Biden administration. We'll see probably some removals of tariffs that we're currently seeing, certainly between Europe and the U.S. Europe has just announced just recently tariffs on Boeing aircraft, for example. So I think we'll see much more of a confrontational approach with the Trump administration, a much less confrontational approach under the Biden administration. And I think that, in my judgment, that makes a lot of economic sense that we'll see those. That'll be positive in my judgment for the agricultural economy and for the manufacturing economy. For 2021, for example, one third of the agricultural income, net farm income, I should say, is coming from the federal government, federal support. So we really, in my judgment, need to see the economy opened up, and that would be supportive of the agricultural sector and the manufacturing sector, two sectors that are very important for this part of the country.
Regardless of who is in the White House for the next 4 years, let's say whoever is in charge calls you and says, I would like to know what you think would be the best thing for Mid-America, for the heartland. What is the advice that Dr. Ernie Goss gives either to a Trump team or a Biden team with regard to what are the steps that should be taken for this region that you have studied and talked about so extensively?
Several things. I think first and foremost is keep the 2017 tax cuts in place, that tax reform package. Very important. In my judgment, the data supports it. The economy has grown as a result of that tax cut. Now, we need to, in my judgment, pass a stimulus 2 bill, and that would be a skinny stimulus 2 bill, meaning we would not see support for the overspending by many of these state and local governments across the U.S. That needs to be not part of the package. So we need a skinny stimulus 2 package, which helps support small businesses across the nation. That would be very important. We need the rejection of any increases in capital gains taxes. The Biden administration has indicated they will increase capital gains tax rates, and that is not supportive of overall growth. I think we could see under a Biden administration a removal of the cap on taxable Social Security income. That would be very negative for small businesses out there and very negative for overall economic growth. That would be a significant increase for those individuals, those small businesses out there, and those individuals that are in the higher income bracket. And finally, I think the Green New Deal, and I'll call it a new Green New Raw Deal, that is not, should not be aggressively pursued as indicated by the Biden administration's platform, that is. Now, we'll wait and see if they move to remove or reduce fracking, remove or reduce petroleum growth, the growth in offshore drilling for petroleum oil. That would be negative for the overall economy. And it would increase utility prices, significant increase in utility prices, according to at least the platform of the Biden administration. That would hurt low income and moderate income individuals and families out there. That would be very detrimental to the overall economy. So I think, again, the platform of the Biden administration in terms of the fossil fuel industry is very negative. Now, on the flip side of that, the Biden administration has been supportive of, or at least the platform is supportive of renewable energy. And that would be good, of course, for wind energy and for solar energy and some alternative energy production. But on the flip side, again, because these energy sources are not base load, meaning they have to be backed up by non-renewable energy, such as natural gas energy production, electricity production, you're talking about much higher prices in terms of energy and electricity for individuals and for families and for businesses going forward with a Biden administration. The social media companies out there, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Google, and so forth, they were very supportive of the Biden presidency. And I think as a result, we'll see less pressure, antitrust action coming from the Biden presidency in terms of those social media companies. We also saw a lot of support coming from big corporations across the U.S. That would be, of course, big financial institutions such as J.P. Morgan. They were very supportive of the Biden administration. So I think we'll see much more lax regulatory environment for large corporations, large businesses, but more pressure on smaller businesses and individuals in terms of a Biden administration.
Dr. Ernie Goss, Creighton University economist. To learn more about his research, go online to gossandassociates.com. We spoke via Zoom on Tuesday, November 10th. Still to come, as for more COVID stimulus, businesses say yes, please, and how to make the hunt part of a fuller experience. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.
A survey conducted by the National Federation of Independent Businesses found 75% of business owners would apply for a second round of COVID-19 stimulus funds should they become available. The survey was conducted from a random sample of 20,000 U.S. small business owners who are NFIB members. And more than half, 52%, said they expect they will need additional financial support over the next year. Funds small businesses receive through the Federal Paycheck Protection Program appear to have carried them for a time, but 19% of those borrowers say that money has run out and they anticipate laying off employees in the next 6 months without more help. Some 90% of those surveyed said they have spent all the PPP money they received and are ready to apply for loan forgiveness. But there's a logjam there. While 26% of borrowers have already applied for that loan forgiveness, another 39% say they're ready to apply, but their bank is not yet accepting such applications. Finally, about a third of these small business owners nationally say their sales are back to pre-pandemic levels, but about 20% say sales are still down by at least half, and another 26% say revenues are down by at least a quarter. And more than a third, 37%, say they expect a net operating loss this year. Coming up, a new experience tied to a longtime Midwest tradition. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, helping develop the next generation of business leaders through Leadership Iowa, Business Horizons, and Leadership Iowa University. To learn more, go to iowaabi.org.
In this week's business profile, I talk with Afton Holt, who owns and operates an agricultural marketing and communications firm, Corner Post Marketing. But our topic today is a unique effort she and fiancé Jason Scott have started, Twisted Creek Ranch, which is billed as Iowa's all-inclusive pheasant hunting experience.
Our third generation row crop farm is west of Pocahontas, Iowa, so we are in the northwest quadrant of the state. It is mostly corn and soybeans. There's been, as in 2019, kind of the reason for us starting this business anyway, was because 2019 brought with it tons of rain. And so, of course, in those years, you have to find some maybe different crops to put in, especially with planting practices. But so mostly corn and soybeans, around 2,300 acres, all pretty much right there in Pocahontas County.
So how did the idea come about to start a rather unique, I don't know if you call it a lodge, it is certainly not a bed and breakfast because you have much greater offerings than that. How'd the idea come about?
You hit on my first problem all the time is saying, what are we? Who are we? Often I say we're a game, bird, preserve, and lodge. That then encompasses everything that we do. So the idea really stemmed from 2019. I'm no stranger to agriculture. I've been working in the agriculture industry, and I'm also a multi-generational farm kid. We're now getting married, and we're talking about future stuff. We had this discussion of what do we do if? And 2019 brought with it one of those ifs. And how do you diversify a farming operation today when in Iowa, although some of us would like to change it, we are still essentially a two-crop state. So as we're talking, yes, we have a cattle lot we can use. Sure, we could. There's turkey farmers and hog farmers around us, and we could diversify into livestock. But what are we passionate about? what's something that we would like to challenge ourselves with. And then 2019, with it, that prevent planting that we had to do, we actually planted almost, I want to say 3/4 of our acres in other things. So oats, sorghum, even a field of sunflowers, which at one time were weeds that farmers didn't want. And we wanted it for our honeybees. We raise honeybees too. So we said, okay, here might be an opportunity. We diversified the operation that year because we had to. We had no choice, just for prevent planting. And we said, well, this is like perfect for hunting. On our home section, we have a creek that actually goes right through it, as well as a wetland, WRP, a wetland reserve program, that has been there for several, since I think 1990, it has been there. So it's got a nice pond, and we've got swans and ducks and geese and everything, and lots of wildlife around us. And we said, as avid hunters ourselves, both of us, we go on a lot of hunts. We love being outdoors and the outdoor sports. We said, maybe we could bring some people here to hunt. And that then steamrolled into, well, we have another farmhouse. What do you do with another farmhouse when you don't need it? You let it sit and it goes to pot. And we said, let's not do that. It's too nice of a house. It was a very well redone modern farmhouse. So we said, let's have that be our lodge, and have done even more work to it and set up a gun range and some other entertaining areas. And it's all right there in the home section. And so it just kind of played right into, hey, we need to diversify. 2019 gave us a year to kind of reflect on that, and then came up with a business strategy.
There are a lot of people who would sit and see the empty farmhouse and say, we should do something with it. And they might sit around after a day of hunting themselves and say, this would be great to share with someone else. But they don't take the next step. They don't actually put it into action. What was it that led the two of you to say, this isn't just a good idea, this is something we're actually going to make happen?
So we still have, I mean, to be very honest, we still have those questions every night. You know, we tend to talk more business, I think, between all of our businesses than sometimes we do about our wedding planning, for example. I think it really came down to, we've been on those hunts. We've been on, and this, I should say, that Twisted Creek is really geared towards those companies that maybe, or sales teams that want to bring in customers and give them this all-inclusive hunting experience where they don't have to worry about anything. They can just play this great host and we take care of everything else for them. And I think we've been on those hunts, no stranger to agriculture. I know you know that often, and in other industries, sales reps, they maybe take people on incentive trips for selling so much seed or chemical or fertilizer. And so we've done that. We've gone on those hunts, and well, it's just hunts on our own in Texas or out west. And we knew that people pay to do this. In Iowa, we think, well, I'll just go out and find the neighbor's closest grove of trees and find a deer. But we don't realize what we actually have in our outdoor space, from our rivers to our lakes to our hunting. We just felt it was a time to bring that back. We knew what people were willing to pay out of state to come here. Pocahontas actually has a lot of out-of-staters just come in general to our area, as do many others. We see many license plates starting in, you know, end of October, beginning of November, when pheasant season starts. We see a lot of out-of-state license plates. And we thought, well, they want a place to stay too. Let's give them the all-inclusive experience.
What I think is interesting as I've looked at the website is you're acknowledging that for many people, it is, as you say, let's just find some ground, let's ask permission to hunt, and it's sort of a low comfort sort of thing. And what you're offering is not just excellent hunting ground, but you're saying, let us take care of the rest of it, and let's really make it an experience that makes you want to come back and do it. It elevates it to much more of a high-level activity and a getaway.
Yeah, so we have great numbers of birds. I mean, this year, in fact, Iowa has, I think it's around average of 20 roadside survey. So that's 20 birds within a 30-mile route, I believe is how they put that. So that's up again this year, and it keeps going back up. So we can compete with those other states. I won't name the names, but we can compete with those other states. So we knew we had the birds. That's easy. But one thing that Jason, if anybody that hangs out with Jason and I, knows that we love to be hospitable. We love to make good food. We love to have nice drinks and just enjoy people's company. We often have people just over to do that. And we thought, well, wait a minute. We already do this anyway. Why not bring that hospitable type of atmosphere to these groups? Because again, they don't want to have to stop at a grocery store and pick up their groceries. They want to come and just relax and get away. And whoever's hosting the group, they want to do the same. So that's where it kind of came down to that, and just making sure they had room to roam and hunt and then spread out and just maybe watch TV and have a cool drink, play cards, whatever they want to do. We want to give that to them. So giving that experience makes it more of a getaway than just coming up for a hunt.
What's been the response so far?
Well, 2020, bless it.
Yes.
So in fall of 2019, we officially got our game bird preserve license. So we are officially a game bird preserve with the Iowa DNR. And so that gave us a chance to just get started, figure out our plan for this and get things in order. And then ready to go for 2020, and then COVID happens. And I know it's adjusted some people's travel budgets that they can use, especially when we're looking at corporate groups too. However, we have found that for some of them, this is actually a much better option because they can't maybe use their travel to go to larger cities and metropolitan areas or go south. So this gives them something where they can socially distance. There is 4 bedrooms and 6 queen beds. There is 2 large entertaining areas and a full kitchen and other areas to hang. And of course, you spend most of your time outdoors anyway. But this gives a chance that it's something that they can do even in a year like 2020 where there's different rules or guidelines in place. And so that's been really great. I think for a lot of people, it's switching their mind to think, I don't have to go somewhere west of the Missouri to get birds. That they're here and you can have that same experience and really enjoy it. Maybe a little closer to home for some, or maybe just finding somewhere different to make it their new tradition for their hunting group.
Afton Holt, who with fiance Jason Scott owns and operates Twisted Creek Ranch near Pocahontas in Northwest Iowa. Learn more by going to their website, twistedcreekiowa.com. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. You'll also find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, including iHeart, Apple, and Google. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. Follow ABI on Twitter @IowaABI and online at iowaabi.org.